Hear the word of the Lord. Today from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, the chapter heading says, "The Empty Tomb." Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Imagine with me on Peter's early morning run to the tomb. It's kind of like in a movie, things slowed down. And we see inside Peter's mind thoughts that may be going there as he is making this early morning run. Now think, this is early on the first day of the week. The previous day, from Friday night till Saturday night, actually was the Sabbath. Just before that, Jesus had been crucified on the cross and put in this tomb after he had died. I don't think Peter or the other disciples had rested on that Sabbath. You can imagine all these thoughts going through Peter's mind and heart that whole day, and now even this morning, after very little, perhaps no sleep, on this run to the tomb. About 3 years earlier, 2.5 years plus, Simon, as he was called before Jesus called him Peter, Simon was out fishing on the Sea of Galilee. He and his brother Andrew and their partners in fishing, James and John, also brothers. It says they'd been fishing all night, and caught nothing, no fish. Now it's early morning that day, and their boats are up on the shore, and they're washing out their nets. And here comes Jesus. Now they had heard of him, perhaps they had seen him, but Simon didn't yet know Jesus, really. But Jesus came, and there's this crowd following Jesus already. And Jesus sees the boats, and he actually gets into Simon's boat and has him put back out on the water. And Jesus sat in the boat and taught the people on the shore from the boat. And Peter's in the boat. And then after Jesus was done speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Now put the boat out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon said, "Master, we had fished all night and caught nothing. But since you say so, we'll let down the nets." No sooner had the nets gone over back into the water than fish just start pouring into the nets. So many that the nets almost begin to break. Simon calls the others, James and John, back out because the boat is now filling up with so many fish. And it says there were so many fish coming into the boat started to sink under the weight of all these fish. Now you'd think, I would think, Simon, Andrew, James, John, Simon would be like, "This is what we were trying to do last night. Master, Jesus, you should fish with us more often. We've had a windfall here of fish. Let's go to market and sell all these. We're set." Simon, when all these fish came in and the boat started to sink, it says he fell at Jesus' feet in the boat. He said, "Lord, go away from me. Go away from me, for I am a sinful man." Jesus hadn't been talking about sin. At least we don't know what his words were. They just caught all these fish. "Go away from me." Jesus said, "Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, I will make you a fisher of people, a fisher of men. come, follow me. They went back to the shore, pulled up their boats and the nets, and left everything, left all the fish, and Simon followed Jesus. Simon saw, this is no ordinary man, Jesus, and he started to follow him. Sometime later, perhaps a year and a half or so, as Simon and 11 other men who had been called specifically to follow Jesus as his disciples, there were crowds. Jesus had performed miracles and people had come to Jesus for healing and heard his amazing teaching. And one time Jesus looked at his 12, the disciples. He said, who do people say that I am? They'd heard all the people in the crowds. Everyone has an idea. Who is Jesus? And the disciples responded. They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, before this moment, had been beheaded, had been killed by Herod. But Herod himself thought, when he heard about what Jesus was doing, he thought, this must be John the Baptist back from the dead. So some people in the crowds were like, is this John the Baptist come back from the dead doing these amazing things? Peter's running to the empty tomb. Well, Jesus said, who do people say that I am? They said, John the Baptist. Others say, Elijah. Now, there was a prophecy that Elijah from about 800 years earlier, who had also performed miracles under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, there was a prophecy that Elijah would come back before the Messiah. They said, some people think you're Elijah. And then some said, well, and some people say you're Jeremiah, one of the other prophets, or another prophet. Now, these are pretty big names, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah. But Jesus looked at his 12. He said, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter looked at Jesus and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus looked at Peter and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And Jesus said, you are called Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Simon was blessed. And Simon's confidence in Jesus and Simon's confidence in himself revealed by God the Father. And Simon's running. Mary Magdalene had said, someone has moved the stone, opened the tomb, and we don't know where they've taken him. And he's running on this early morning to the tomb. Just 2.5 days ago, the Thursday night, just 2.5 days ago, they'd had the Last Supper, well, the Passover meal, which turned out to be the Last Supper before Jesus died. The disciples and Jesus. Jesus said some mysterious things. One thing he said, it is written that the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered. And Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, all of you will fall away on account of me. Well, there are some things Peter just didn't hear or couldn't hear, and that was one. But he said, Lord, even if all fall away, I will not fall away. He was confident. And Jesus said, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny that you know me. You will disown me 3 times. Peter would have none of that. What is he talking about? Peter said, I am ready to go to prison with you, Lord. I'm ready to go to death with you. I will not fall away. I will not leave you. Peter was, Jesus had raised a man named Lazarus from the dead, out of the tomb. Peter had seen him raise the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, seen raise her from the dead. Jesus had fed over 5,000 people on a hillside from a few loaves of bread and a few small fishes. Peter is ready to follow his Messiah, who will kick the Romans out of Jerusalem and set up the throne of David, sit on the throne of David as king, as Messiah. Peter, I'm ready to fight with you to the death, Master. I won't leave you. He was confident. They're running. He's running. She said the tomb had been opened. Someone moved the stone. She said, we don't know where they've taken him. Some other thoughts in Peter's mind. Going back to that lake, Lake Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, same place, a different time from when Jesus first called him. In fact, this was right after one of those times Jesus fed the multitudes from those loaves and fishes. And then Jesus sent his disciples on ahead. He said, go ahead into the boats, make your way across the sea. Well, Jesus stayed back. And the disciples went out, and they were actually on the water all night. The wind, it says, was against them, and they were having a hard time getting across the sea. And now it was almost morning, that kind of twilight time, another early morning, still kind of dark. And they're on the water, still struggling. And one of them says, look at that. And they see a figure on the water, seemingly coming toward them. And they thought it was a ghost. What else could possibly be out there? Maybe they hadn't gotten enough sleep that night and they're seeing things, but there's this form. When the form gets closer, it says, do not be afraid. It is I, Peter. Peter looks, says, if that is you, Master, if that is you, Lord, is it Jesus? Tell me to come to you. And Jesus said simply, come. The wind is fighting the boat. They're on the water. There's Jesus. Peter climbs out of the boat onto the water and begins himself to walk on the water to Jesus. But then somewhere in that walk, the wind, the water, the waves, Peter saw and felt it, and he sank. Said, oh Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand, pulled Peter up, said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? That time when Jesus had asked them, you know, who do people say that I am? And then who do you say I am? And Peter said, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you. But then after Jesus said that, Jesus said some more. Jesus said, you know, I'm going to Jerusalem where I will be turned over to the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the elders, and I, the Son of Man, will suffer many things and will be killed. It's one of those things. Peter just never. What? The Messiah? We've seen what you've done. We've heard what you've said. Be killed, suffer what is he talking about? Peter rebuked Jesus. Said, never, Lord. This must never happen to you. And Jesus looked at Peter, and said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. For you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus had just said, this was not revealed to you by men, but revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And now Jesus is saying, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. And he's talking and looking at Peter. Oh, you of little faith, get behind me, Satan. He's running to the tomb where Mary Magdalene had said, someone has moved the stone, and we don't know where they've taken him. 2.5 nights or 2.5 days ago, Thursday night again, when Jesus had said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me. You will disown me 3 times. No, Lord. Even if everyone else falls away, I will never disown you. After that, they'd gone out to the garden. Jesus often went out to the garden to pray. He called his disciples out with him. He called Peter, James, and John to join him. Stay here, watch with me, pray while I go a little farther on. Jesus went farther on into the garden where he was praying. Well, Peter, that night, I mean, that had been a long day, full night. They'd had the meal together. His eyes were heavy. He was nodding off. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is back again saying, "What? Can't you watch with me even for 1 hour?" Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Stay here and watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. Jesus went away again to pray. And the next thing you know, Peter's like being roused again. Jesus saying, "Wake up, pray, watch." Jesus went a third time to pray. Well, then the next thing Peter knows, there's torchlight. It's dark, but there's people coming with torches. There's soldiers, and there's Judas leading them. And it was all blurry. It was night, and soldiers, torches, people with swords. Well, Peter, they had a sword themselves. He drew a sword. He's like, "I'm ready to fight with you. Here's his chance." He swung. He struck a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus healed the servant's ear. He healed it. Jesus said, "Put away your sword. Whoever lives by the sword will die by the sword." It's all blur. But they took Jesus. He went with them. They took him away. They arrested him. Peter waits a little bit, but then he goes. He follows, but from a distance. They brought Jesus to the high priest's house. Now, this isn't, even when they arrested people, that's not what they did. What was going on? Peter followed from a distance. They took Jesus to the high priest's house. Peter saw some soldiers, some people gathering in the courtyard, and they started a fire. It was chilly. It was nighttime. And he went and sat by the fire with this crowd. Jesus is up at the high priest's house. What's going on? But there's a servant girl out there, and she's looking at Peter in the firelight. And then she says, "You were with him. You're one of his disciples." Peter said, "Woman, I don't know what you're talking about." A little while later, a man, another person there, looking at Peter in the firelight, and says, You are one of them. You were with him." Peter says, "I don't know him. I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about." Sometime later, third person, third time, someone says, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. You're a Galilean." Peter, he began to call down curses. Curses. He swore to them, "I do not know the man." It's late night, early morning's coming. A rooster crows. And in Luke 22, in Luke's account, it says that Jesus, the Lord, he was outside again now. And after Peter had denied him the third time, Jesus looked at him. And the rooster crowed. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. He's running now, early morning. That same kind of time of day where it's still dark, but there's light. You can feel it coming, and there's probably a rooster in the distance. He'll never hear a rooster the same way again. Mary said, "They've taken away the stone. Someone's moved it. We don't know where they've taken our Lord." The garden, there it is. He's entering the garden. John has already passed him on this run. John has reached it, but he's stopped. Peter just gets there, and he goes right into the tomb. A hollow that's cut out in a small little hillside. A duck can go in there, but there's room to be in there. There's a little light. It's not empty. It says the empty tomb. It's not empty. There are strips of linen. Strips of linen. And a headcloth lying there where the body would be. Mary Magdalene had said, "They have taken him away." Well, if someone was to take a body away, why would they? They wouldn't remove any linen, the grave clothes, the head clothes. But then they were the ones that wanted a guard or soldier posted so that Peter and the disciples wouldn't come and take the body away. Well, that guard isn't anywhere to be seen. But they? Why would they wouldn't take the body? In the back of Peter's mind, he had heard Jesus say these words 3, even 4 times. But they hadn't made sense. Maybe he's not thinking them now, but they're there. After Jesus had said, "We're going to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be given over to the chief priests and elders and teachers of the law, and he will be rejected and suffer many things and be killed. And on the third day, be raised again." He said that 2 other times. And then after Jesus had said, "The shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered and all of you will fall away on account of me," Jesus had said, "Even Thursday night, and I, when I am raised from the dead, will go ahead of you into Galilee." When I am raised from the dead, when I am raised from the dead, Peter, John, who now came into the tomb, they went back out of the tomb and went back to where they'd come from with the other disciples, but they're locked away. They're still afraid. They still don't know what is going on. The door is locked. But later the same day, later on that first day of the week, Jesus appeared in the room, came into the room, and said to Peter and to the other disciples, "Peace be with you." And Jesus showed Peter and the disciples his hands, their scars. Now, the last time Peter and the disciples had seen Jesus, he had been marred and beaten and bloodied beyond recognition. And then he'd been nailed to a cross and he had died. And his lifeless body, hours later, had been taken off the cross. Now they see him again. It is Jesus. And he is alive. And Jesus speaks of forgiveness. He says, "When you forgive others their sins, they will be forgiven." And when he looks at Peter, Peter knows he'll be forgiven. He is forgiven. Jesus spends time with his disciples and appears to others over a period of 40 days after he had risen from the grave, come out of the tomb. And one of those times in John chapter 21, Peter and some other disciples are out fishing again. And guess what? Guess what they caught? Nothing. They've been fishing, they caught nothing. There's a man on the shore. It's Jesus. And he calls out to them, says, "Put your nets down on the other side of the boat." And they do. And what do they catch? 153 fish. 153. And Jesus, once again, that day, says to Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." 50 days after Peter had denied even knowing Jesus, denied any connection to him, 50 days later, Peter is speaking to thousands of people in Jerusalem, proclaiming, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Messiah and has raised him from the dead." And Peter would never, ever deny his Lord again.